It is an amazing thing when you think of the way many services do start, that we've come to the realization that we want to start the way God says to start. You know, enter my gates with thanksgiving and come into my courts with praise. You know, the whole idea of, the Sound of Music has that song that says, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. You know, if you start with the music and then you praise God for the week you had, and as Carol was saying about the woman she's watching, it really doesn't matter what's in your bank account when you get to that point in life, does it? I don't know, Jesus says, can all the worry in the world add 1 inch to your stature? Well, can all the money in the world add another heartbeat? Now, they can put you on artificial hearts and artificial breathing, but that's not alive. Just because you're there and machines are doing the work for you doesn't mean it's you. And the whole idea of how fragile life is and how we come to realize that God truly is no respecter of persons. Now, hospitals may be. When we were talking with Gloria a few months back, talking about lung transplants, we were talking about it, she wasn't. It's amazing, people who have, they say, you have to get on a list. And somehow you get the feeling that if you have a large bank account, the list is shorter than if you don't. You get at the bottom of the list otherwise. But God isn't like that. He just thinks everyone is the same, not just in death, but in salvation. He says, I'm not willing that any should be lost. Yeah, that should tell us that it's not just the idea of, at the point of death, everybody's the same, but he wants everybody to kind of look and be changed. The whole idea of the rebirth. And we've been going through the Pauline literature. So I know last week we took a little hiatus with the idea of now is the time of choices. And I think every day we live, we were talking in class, comes down to the idea of even when you click to send or text, the whole idea of there's choices. Choices that we don't even realize are attached sometimes. And choices that, if you're like me, sometimes words come out and you wish you could get them back. There's no way to take it back. You can't hit rewind. The idea, a couple weeks ago, I emailed Jim and asked him not to put a sermon online. See, I can get that back that easy. Just by saying don't do that. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that with life? But we can't. Once it's out there, it's out there. And see, Jim emailed back, I already did, but I already took it off again. So the whole idea is we need to be aware. And so Paul begins 2 Thessalonians with his greeting. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says peace, understand something. The church at this time was not a peaceful time. The church in our day, I don't know if you realize it, but every day, now it's being highlighted, but it was this way before it was highlighted. Every day, if you live in Egypt and you're a Christian, your life is in danger. You walk out of the house without a burqa, they kill you. They have been burning churches, Christian churches, every single day. If you remember 3 or 4 years ago, I asked you all to look up a word, caliphate. That's what we're seeing happen. And we don't realize it. And so there's a peace that comes upon you. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. Isn't that the fighting stops in Egypt or that the Middle East settles down. See, I never expect that to happen because in reading in Genesis, God promises it will never happen, this side of the kingdom. However, he says we can still have peace. Yeah, peace in the storm, not deliverance from the storm. For some reason, we as Christians think peace is the storm being taken away from us. The theme New Jersey has, stronger than the storm, is a true saying. Yeah, we are stronger than the storm because we have peace. God gives us this strength and this peace. You know, I was talking with someone this week who's not going through a divorce. They've been divorced. But one thing from dealing with divorced people found out over the years, the divorce proceedings never stop. You know, they're never over. You know, person's been divorced a couple years, and they just got a letter, you know, stating some really bad things coming down the pike. And the person said, I don't know why, but I'm at peace with this. A year ago, I think it might have affected them a little different. And I know why. Because they've grown enough in the, they realize what we just sang. Jesus has risen from the dead, and the victory's been won. You know, we can have peace. And so when Paul says, peace be to you, he's not saying no more problems will come, because as we go into it, you will see that more problems came. He says, be strengthened. Be strengthened in Christ. And then you know that your point of attack is from power, not to get power. You can get no more power than you have at this moment, because you have the power of the whole universe. Because the Father says, all authority I have given to you. And Jesus says, I abide in you. So we have it, people. That's peace. Yeah. It's Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You know, looking at what has taken place. Heard Chuck Swindoll talk about three people, you know, going through different types of education, you know, and thought about it. You figure Samuel went through church school. Daniel went through military school. And Moses went to a secular university. And all of them stood firm. So it doesn't matter what school you go to. It's what God you serve. Yeah. Somehow we have the idea that if a child goes away to a secular school, oh, they've left God. Well, Moses disproves that. I mean, Daniel went to a military school. I mean, you think about what they did to Daniel. I mean, think about Daniel. They changed their name. He's not Daniel anymore. He's Belteshazzar. And cutting your hair off, Tom, is nothing. They made him a eunuch. Talk about tough. And he was instructed in all the ways of the Babylonian, but he remained faithful. So the idea is all power is ours. It says, we must always thank God for you, brothers, which is fitting, since your faith is flourishing and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. And you say, why is it increasing? Therefore, we ourselves boast about you amongst God's churches, about your endurance in the faith and in all the persecutions and afflictions you endure. You want to, as Jay says, you know, we're tired of it. But you know what makes us better warriors? More battles. How do we become stronger? How do we become more proficient? Nothing, I guess, is further from the truth if they talk about battle fatigue. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I used to tell Denny Hutstickler, let's say, when I was point man, now, at other times, wasn't true. I said, but you have to be hyper-aware. I said, through combat boots, I said, I could step on a coin and tell you whether it was a penny, nickel, or diamond, heads or tails. You become hyper-aware. Yeah, that's what it does for you. Now, you come out of that, for R&R, they call it, and you have to go and learn it all over. Hated it. Every time you come out of it, you have to go back. Paul says it makes you stronger. It makes you more aware. Sometimes coming out of it, you know, Jesus said, let us come apart for a while. And sometimes you say, well, I have to come apart before I come apart. But something happens when you're there all the time, you know. And we've said a couple of weeks ago, stop praying for an easy life and praying for a meaningful life. Okay, God, teach me today what I need to know. The whole idea, when we left the storehouse Tuesday, we had two boxes of bread left. That's it. Two boxes of bread. Now, Thursday's coming. You know how they say, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming? Thursday's coming. And I don't know what's going on, but it just seems like we've been inundated with people. And we never get that much bread on Thursday. Except this Thursday. Yeah. You know how many boxes of bread I put away? Two. Yeah, two. I was thinking after I got back from the run, because normally I have about a half a pallet of stuff. I had two pallets of stuff and racks, three racks of bread. God's just saying, look, little is much when God is in it. Yeah. And so he tells us, get stronger. I heard a man talk about how to build your physical strength. And his message was, he says, the way, Tyler, listen up. You and Matt, you know, you all need to listen to this because this is how you do it. You know, when we were growing up, Eli, if you remember, they used to have it on matchbook covers you could send in. And, you know, people are kicking sand in your face one day, and then you're, you know, Johnny Weissmuller, they don't know who that is. He used to be Tarzan. Yeah. Then after you go through the program, here's your program. You start out, take a 5-pound potato sack, and you hold it up. Your goal is to hold it up there for a minute. Just like that. And I realize you're probably not going to get it done the first time, but stay at it. Probably within a week, you can do it. Then trade it for a 10-pound potato sack. Same thing. In about a month, trade it for a 100-pound potato sack. And when you can hold the 100-pound potato sack up there for a minute, Matt, put a potato in it. See, that's the way we as Christians would like to think getting stronger is. But it isn't that way. You don't get it by heavier lifting. You get it by more dependence. It's about whose we are. It's about submitting to Christ. And he says, as you're going through this endurance, you know, this endurance through the persecution. I don't know. You know, if something happened this past couple weeks. Let's face it. Gloria is not here. Oh, we'll see her again. Yeah. We'll see her again. But it's a reality check. Because, see, I believe it is a sign that we're getting closer and closer to the end. You know, the battles we go through. See, when you lose friends bonded in battle, there's special ties. Friends lost in battle never change. You know. In my drawer, one of my drawers, but I don't even know what they call them anymore, dressers, bureaus, you know, I have a rubbing from the wall. Dennis Martin. You know, my best friend growing up. Yeah, for some reason, he's still 19 years old. Yeah. See, God has blessed us with that. See, Gloria's gone. She's now a rubbing we keep in our drawer. But she's always faithful. That's the way we remember it. She's always there. She's forever faithful. Endurance as we loosen. Friends lost in battle are friends that remain the same forever. They never change. The whole idea of struggling, of watching suffering, doesn't happen. And so Paul says, you know, your endurance and faith in persecutions and afflictions you endure. It is clear, it is a clear evidence of God's righteous judgment that you will be counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you are suffering, since it is righteous for God to repay with afflictions those who afflict you. Yeah, I think that gave Paul comfort. Yeah. I don't know about you, it gives me comfort. You know. See, I was brought up with the idea, you don't get mad, you get even. One of the best, two great things about Christianity for me. One is the dead are just that. Dead. Yeah. That, like I say, they needed nothing else. If that's the only thing they ever taught me, that the dead aren't, you know, running behind me, trying to catch me at night, disturbing my sleep, that would have been enough. But this, I don't have to get even. Because there is no getting even. I don't even know. If someone hurts you, what could you possibly do to them that would make that hurt feel bad? We don't even know what to do. But to give it over to God then goes back to the idea of peace. Think about Timothy. You know, I don't know if it was Eddie, Don, and I talking the other night, but if his was about getting even, see, we often say, I wonder what's going to happen resurrection morning when Timothy comes up and Saul comes up. Because Timothy doesn't know he changed his name. Yeah. See, my belief is Timothy first will go. Then I'll go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like David, for your judgments are righteous. That's what Paul says. Trust God. And then don't get angry. You know, Jonah, the story of Jonah, he trusted God with a little persuasion, took a 3-day cruise, kind of like Gilligan there, you know. But after his 3-day cruise, he preaches his heart out and then gets angry because they listened to him and believed him. How many of us have, as Christians, you know, I mean, we say it jokingly, you know, I want them in the kingdom, but I don't want them in my neighborhood. Yeah. I believe Saul and Timothy will be BFFs. Yeah. Because it was the message he got, the last message Timothy ever got to speak, I believe, was the beginning of breaking the heart of Saul. You know. Did Timothy know it? No. But he says, understand something. You just trust God. If you trust God with your rewards, then trust him to take care of those who were bringing affliction upon you. He did it with Saul. I mean, and if you don't think Saul paid, he lost his family. He lost his job. And he had a good job. He had a cushy job. I mean, Saul was at the top of his game. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. When judgment had to come, Saul was in the inner circle. He lost it all. Can you imagine John Roberts? Yeah. Just putting it all aside. Why? Well, I heard a voice. Oh, they might relieve him, but they'd put him in an institution if he's hearing voices. Everybody saw the light, but not everybody heard the voice, from what theologians say, when Saul was spoken to. So when you say it was a Damascus Road experience, talk about persecution. Do you ever hear any more about Saul's wife? I mean, he even writes, I chose the better part. What does that mean? Yeah, we're once again talking in class. Words mean things. Do a word study on that. Knowing he was a member of the Sanhedrin, knowing he had to have a wife to be a member of the Sanhedrin, knowing he had to have children to be a member of the Sanhedrin, and then holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means he's writing, and all of a sudden he writes, it's not right that everyone should be married. Probably had to put the pen down. And his mind, yeah, takes a trip down memory lane, yeah, of what that wedding was like. What the reception was like, what it was like to hold his firstborn child. And he continues, but as for me, I chose the better part. Wow. That means something different for someone like Aaron, who's never been married, than it does for someone who was a member of the Sanhedrin. And then to pen this, God is the righteous judge. Think about this. We don't know, but, you know, homiletic license lets me do this. Now, we know Saul became Paul. Paul dies. Timothy's going to come up resurrection morning. Paul's going to come up resurrection morning. And if you think Timothy's going to be surprised, what's Paul going to look like when his wife comes up? We have no clue how his life affected his wife. What's Paul going to look like when some of the priests from his congregation, where he used to be, the man who took his place, the Matthias, if you please, that replaced Saul on that seat, because he knew who replaced him, comes up in the resurrection. He's going to go, what? That's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the idea of just if you trust Jesus with your rewards, then trust Jesus, says, pray for your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. Yeah. I read that and it amazes me. You know, we talked a little bit about it last week. Consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. Think about what Jesus said. That's what Paul's talking about here. I am trusting what I used to fight against. Because see, in our life, we are taught God helps those who help themselves. And I realize I can't help myself. I mean, there is nothing I can do. I realized that in eighth grade when I was 5'2". And I got the ninth grade and I was 5'2". Got the 10th grade. Went in the Navy. Got out of the Navy. Still 5'2". Graduated college. Yeah, what? I don't even want to be measured anymore because they said when you get older, you shrink. Yeah. The whole idea, you know, I remember when we go to King's Dominion, you know, the girls want to ride the bigger rides sometimes, and they're just not quite tall enough. So Lynette, I didn't even know they made such a thing. Wedgie high heel flip-flops, thongs. She used to call them, wear your hoochie mama shoes. Yeah. And I put them up to the next level, and they could ride the bigger rides. Yeah. And I read, I'm going to have to buy a pair of them next time I go to the doctors. Yeah. Then I'll let them measure me. Yeah. But Paul's saying, understand something. If you trust God, look, if decisions were easy, they wouldn't be decisions. We tell people, I don't know how big the valley is, but the valley of decision. Evangelists always talk about the valley of decision. Yeah. I don't know where it is. I don't know how big it is. I just hear everybody talking about it. I know it's not a comfortable place to be, but this takes it out. You know, what should I do? What should I do? Jesus tells us, yeah, just keep praying. Keep praising. And it says, yeah, God, to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to reward with the rest of you who are afflicted along with us. This will take place at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his powerful angels, taking vengeance with flaming fire on those who don't know God and on those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Two things there. Those who don't know God and those who do know God but don't live according to the gospel. That's tough. Those who know God but don't pray for those who despitefully use them. Those who don't lift up in prayer those who persecuted you. Those who aren't Timothy's. He puts both of them in there. He says, those who don't know God and those who preach the gospel or teach the gospel or claim the gospel but don't live according to the gospel. That's a big difference. That's not saying don't judge whether something's right or wrong. It's saying be who you say you are. Tom, your mom and I worked for the same company, commercial lighting products, one time. And that company was so bad, the salesman had aliases. Because people would literally wait in the parking lot with guns, waiting for the salesman to come out. I mean, they would talk about shysters. Yeah. One of the guys named Bob, his alias was Ken Henning. And Bob would leave work, and somebody might be out there, and they'd say, are you Ken Henning? No, it's Bob. He'd say, no, I'm Bob. Let's say, and he was telling the truth. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't say, AKA Ken Henning. But is that what we do? Yeah. That's what he's saying. I believe the gospel. Then be who you say you are. Yeah. Jesus, I believe in the book of James, does it through James, says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That doesn't mean don't change your mind. If you never changed your mind, let's face it, Isaac would be dead. I mean, God, how many of you believe God told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and kill him? I mean, how many believe the text that says, I am the Lord God, I change not? Yeah. How many of you believe when he says, yeah, God will provide the sacrifice? I mean, what was going through Abraham's mind? I know one thing. What am I going to tell Sarah? That's one thing. I wonder if Hagar has room in her house for me. I mean, can you imagine what's going through his mind? But see, listen to the voice of God maybe telling you, go down this path. And he does. But when he says, do not harm the boy. Yeah. We have to hear that too. See, just because God tells me to do something today doesn't mean he's not. God doesn't change his mind. It wasn't changing his mind. If you remember at the end of that text, see, Abraham was untrustworthy. He just couldn't be trusted. How do I know that? Read Genesis 16, 17, 18. I mean, Abraham knew that God says, of you, I'm going to make a mighty nation. And then he listens to Sarah. Why don't you take my heathen servant Hagar and have a child with her. And Gabriel's going, hey, Jesus, do you think he heard what you said? He goes, okay. We were visiting someone a couple weeks ago, and they were telling us about their 68, 69-year-old brother-in-law who has his, he lives in one state, his wife lives in another, and he has his girlfriend in the state where he lives, half his age, and I'm thinking, and somebody told his wife, you should see her, she's gorgeous. See, I'm thinking Hagar was a looker, you know. Maybe if she wasn't so attractive, it might not have been as tempting. But Abraham just couldn't be trusted. He takes him down with his wife, and he says, Pharaoh says, is that your wife? No, it's not my wife, it's my sister. See, Abraham just couldn't be trusted. So he takes him up the mountain. And God tells him, take your son, your only son, which was an insult, but the truth, the son of promise. And afterwards he says, you can read it. It's in there. Now I know I can trust you. When you're going through something, understand something. God needs to know that he can trust you. He needs to know that no matter what the decree of the king is, a law of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed. He needs to know, according to this, that if you claim the gospel, you're going to live the gospel. Because if not, how does this put it? With flaming fire on those who don't know God and those, not who don't know the gospel, but those who don't obey the gospel. People, being a Christian is one of the toughest things you'll ever do. You know, bless those. Bless those, not just those that persecute you, but those who plan. I believe the way Jesus put it, I'm going to try to quote, I'll paraphrase. Consider it a paraphrase if it's not a direct quote. If it is, praise God, I have that good a memory. Those who despitefully, they know how this is going to hurt you. They know that when the knife goes in, that's bad. But when you twist it, they know it's going to be twisted. They know. Despitefully, pray for those who plan it. They plan on bringing you down. They rejoice when you fall. Yeah. I believe Lucifer, that night, long, long ago, when David spent the night with Bathsheba, did the victory dance. Yeah. Those that despitefully use you. No. There are people who know the gospel sometimes. It's a lot easier to know it than to do it. No. People said I made rank real fast in the military. Not because I was a good electrician. one of the reasons I went in the Navy is they do it by test. When they need electricians, so many, a certain class, you know, the guy over you could hate your guts. But if they need 500 electricians, all the electricians in your pay grade get to take a test. And they take the top 500 scores. Doesn't matter if you're hated. So I'm saying, I wasn't that great of an electrician. But I knew how to take tests. I knew the books. You know, I knew the information. Applying it, my Christian life has reversed that and taught me, I don't care how well you know the book, can you apply it? I mean, I knew enough to get us in trouble. Yeah. I knew, even back then, didn't know it was discernment, but I knew who to pick to work for me. I would watch the guys. I mean, they were, trying to think of the right word. I guess the right word would be mess ups. They could mess up anything. But man, they were good electricians. I would watch them wiring stuff, and I'd go, man, these guys amaze me. To tear something apart and put it back together, I could do half of that. Yeah. And they'd put it back together, and I'd go, wow. That's somebody I want working for me. They can apply it. See, that's what God has taught me. It's not important enough to know the gospel. It's important to live the gospel. If somebody is hurting you, be like the woman who goes into the shoe store, I remember, in our little town. Little towns were wonderful. We had one shoe store. And you knew everybody in town. Went to school with his son. And one day was in the store. And his father was telling us. He said, this woman came in today. And I told her, those shoes are the wrong size. Your feet are a whole size bigger than those shoes. But she loved the shoes. She says, I'll take them. They hurt just right. See, the gospel should hurt just right. Yeah. It doesn't fit us, people. I know it doesn't fit us. But Paul's saying, it's uncomfortable. Do you know how uncomfortable? Of course you do. I mean, I used to tell people, if you've only had one child, you're not a parent. Yeah. Because, who do they blame? You know who did it. You walk into a room, something's broke, you know who did it. Yeah. If you have two, you know who did it. I don't know. How'd that get broke? I don't know. And so Paul says, those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty. And he gets serious here. These will pay the penalty of everlasting destruction. What's everlasting destruction for them? Away from the Lord's presence. See, for somebody who knows the gospel, hell will be what Jesus experienced on Calvary. Separation from the Father. Away from the Lord. I can't think of anything of someone going to church that would be more painful than being that close and being kept away. Think about going on vacation wherever you go. You know, y'all just not too long ago went out to New Mexico. Think about driving to New Mexico, Jim and Kay. Turning around and coming back and never seeing your kids. I mean, you go, what are we doing? This is our purpose. I'm like John Paul, you know. He hates the phrase, it's about the journey. Yeah, so we use, naturally, since we're his good friends, we'll always say to him, when he says, this happened, that happened, we'll go, John, it's about the journey. Yeah. It's not about the journey. It's about the destination. You know, if your journey is to get to the kingdom, imagine what Paul's saying here. Being separated, going to New Mexico, turning around, coming back, never seeing Jimmy or Seth or Matthew. Yeah. What was the purpose? We just had, I don't know, a week to kill? What's your purpose of serving God? For me, it's getting to spend eternity with someone who gave so much. Away from the Lord's presence and from his glorious strength, in that day when he comes to be glorified by his saints and to be admired by all those who had believed because of our testimony among you was believed. And in view of this, we always pray for you that our God will consider you worthy of his calling. In other words, he's paraphrasing, now I know I can trust you. See, sometimes you really don't know. You take people with you. Had a lot of people come through the shop, you know, where I work. And until they got their first job, you know, something broke down. And you don't know whether you can trust them. How do you handle it? How do we handle it? Some people say, you're always smiling. I say, not always. Sometimes I'm just wincing in pain. But it kind of looks the same. And in view of this, we always pray for you that our God will consider you worthy of his calling and will, by his power, fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith. See, I have probably a favorite song, not every day, but several times a day they change. You know, I mentioned Hawk Nelson, you know, this morning, Words. Another one of mine is Cutlass, you know, even if the healing doesn't come. You know. And do you know how many times I've heard the question, we prayed, why isn't Gloria sitting back there? Even if the healing doesn't, see, I don't understand. I don't know. But I trust the one who does. That's the gospel. See? I know in whom I believe. I know it's true. You know, we've seen it. Someone even said, why didn't you ask for her to come up? God didn't tell me to. See, that's another part. That's hard. Because you want to walk up And see, I don't care if they're embalmed, not embalmed. God can make new blood. You know? He can, if he can turn water into wine, he can turn embalming fluid into blood. You know? That's not a problem for him. But if he doesn't say it, don't do it. Obey the gospel. Why doesn't he say it? Three words that can get you out of a lot of trouble. I don't know. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified by you, and you by him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. People, it is about the times in which we live. It is about, do your words and your walk matter? It is about, how do I serve him? It is for each one of us. Every day we're taking up the mount. We have our son following us, carrying the wood for the fire. And probably like every kid you've ever had, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I don't know about you. Probably the most difficult thing that day wasn't climbing the mountain. Remember, Abraham was over 100 years old. I don't want to climb a mountain now. I didn't want to climb a mountain when I was 20, leave alone. And he's climbing this mountain, knowing what he's going to do. And that was hard. But to raise your arm with that knife, wow. That has to be difficult. No. But the phrase, you know, the trial or the storm may endure for a night, but the joy comes in the morning. What it must have felt like when he said, don't harm the boy. Now I know I can trust you. See, that's, I love, you know, people say God doesn't speak to us anymore. Sometimes I'm thankful for that. Other times I'd love to hear at the end of every day as I lay down my head, you know, and he has to be quick because I'm out. Yeah. Now I know I can trust you. Today was a horrible day. So now I know I can trust you. Yeah. Today was a high day. Now I know I can trust you. One of the songs we sing, through the storm and through the pain. Yeah. We have to be able to get to the place where when we... To me, this is one of the worst things about being a Christian. When we are the only Bible they see, we are the only Bible they get to read that day. Yeah. Yeah. If you are the only, who, maybe Max Lucado may have said it. If you are the only Bible they ever get to read, would they know Jesus? I don't mean when you're, you know, just won the lottery. I mean when they just cussed you out. When they just cut you off. You know? When they just ran into you, brand new car. You know? When they just ran into the only car you have. Would they know Jesus? Did they see him today? Paul says, those who don't know God and those who know the gospel but don't obey it. People, I want us to be the people that are like the pocket Bibles people can't carry, that when people see us, they say, I don't know what it is, but I want it. I don't know who you are. Who are you, Lord? Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? See, what he's actually saying is, I hope I'm not who I think you are, and I'm not who you think I am. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. You claim to preach the good news. I'm going to take you, Saul, from preaching the good news to living the good news. That's where I want us to go. I don't want us to give Bible studies anymore. I want us to be Bible studies. I want us to be people, they say, I don't know if they're smiling or wincing in pain, but I want what they have. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity at this time, because as the world's winding up, time is winding down. Jesus is coming. As Dwayne would say, do you believe it? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think, 2 Thessalonians, Father, this whole idea that probably never crossed our mind. It says, they that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. However, he says, there are those who claim to know. But Father, we wear the right clothes. We know all the right sayings. We know all the right moves, Father. But somehow, deep inside, we're still living within ourselves. Father, remove us from us and fill us with your Spirit. Breathe on us the way you breathed on the apostles that day, when you gave them the breath, the pneumos, the new life, the power. There's power in the breath of God. He breathed on them. Oh, Father, breathe on us today. Don't make us what we choose to be. Make us who you choose us to be. And send us forth, Father, in your power. Because then you dwell in us. Let us, Father, as we go from here, pick up our 5 stones. And not just a Goliath that's going to come today, but all of his brothers, Father. We're ready in your power. Because we go and we say, world, you come to us in the name of the courts, in the name of the government, in the name of humanism, in the name of secularism, but we come to you in the name of the Lord God. And Father, bring them down, not by our actions, but by your power. You guide our words. You guide our feet. you guide our hands and fulfill your will for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I like the song we sang earlier, I Will Rise. It says on eagle's wings, because this says, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. See, you have to trust Him. Because some days it doesn't look like it. I'm wondering if the eagle, when he plucks all his feathers out, if there's a reflecting pool up there that he can look at himself in and says, I wonder if I'll ever fly again. Hello, how dumb am I? The things that made me soar, they were just pulled out. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.